This is a Baby Brunch podcast.
Go for a, okay, no one can just go for a quick run, but put on an app, get yourself an app, a yoga app or a high intensity interval training app or whatever your mood is there for.
Is the idea to exercise?
10 minutes.
Okay, just 10.
You start off with 10 minutes.
Can I skip?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right.
I thought you wanted to skip the exercise. No, you
can. No, I mean, yes. Skipping.
This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior gentle all-purpose emollient moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax.
We have had a podcast on the show before about our hormones and menopause. Fast forward to about 2 weeks ago when one of my friends said to me, Ilana, you have to do something on perimenopause. Then my husband said to me, but what about us? Today we're doing a podcast and a video on perimenopause and, like we loosely call it, manopause. Dr. Jeanne Jonk is from lifelabmed.com. They've got an incredible practice. I visited myself and I really enjoyed the spirit and the energy and also the advice that I got from there. Welcome to Baby Brunch.
Thank you, Ilana. I'm very happy to be here.
I love the website, but first of all, tell us what LifeLab does. What do you do when we walk into your office?
Oh, wow. What is LifeLab? LifeLab was my second born. I had just had my firstborn. And I literally walked down the road and I saw this amazing space.
Yeah.
Before then, I was at another practice and I realized that this is where I want to be. I want my child to grow up in this practice. And then from there, just the most amazing people joined our practice. So it's our motto is living better for longer.
Mm.
And because we do become older. We live longer, but we need to keep up a good quality of life.
Right.
So we've got everything from a physio and a baby clinic and a tattoo artist. And we've got not for tattoos, for these lines, etc. But we focus on holistic treatment. So personally, between me and the other doctor, Dr. Rita, who she's also lovely, we focus on women's health, especially also men's health, but it falls under the umbrella of preventative healthcare. So preventative healthcare, anti-aging healthcare, so it's, and IV nutrient therapy. So it's just a space where everyone that works there actually wants the best for their patients. And it's so nice to have like-minded people to work with, and we have amazing patients.
I know this, and that's why we got you to come and talk about this, because you know what? We as Baby Brunch, we're actually very lucky. We feel very blessed. We are surrounded by people who want to help like you and people that want to share information so that people are not alone. It's such a cliche, and it's not a COVID thing. It's always been the case. South Africans and experts and the people that I meet, they want to help others. Yes. And today we're going to help a lot of people with this topic. I have got 100 questions here, but I want to start with a start. I'm actually going to change things up here. What is perimenopause?
So perimenopause is that transition from being in your reproductive years to going into postmenopause. Perimenopause has been in the past, there was a very loose definitions, but now over time, now that women's health has finally taken not center stage yet, but we are getting there.
Mm.
Now that we're focusing on women's health, finally, we can now even define it according to missed periods. So in short, for patients to know when am I in perimenopause, the later stage of your reproductive cycle, irrespective of age, is usually when you start having some irregular periods, sometimes 28 days, sometimes 32. But the minute that you have two consecutive cycles that differ with 7 days from your normal cycle. So let's say you'll have two cycles in a row that instead of 28 days, it's 21 days. Or 35 days, that's defined as early menopause. And already during this early menopausal time, we see huge changes in the female body in terms of inflammation, cardiovascular risk, bone loss, depression, insomnia, obesity, diabetes. And if we can manage to start treating patients earlier, then we can avoid literally a whole spectrum of metabolic diseases and even cancers. So the second half of perimenopause is called late perimenopause. So in the past, we said, okay, you're in late perimenopause once you've been, or now you're in menopause once you've had a full year of no menstruation.
Right.
And that's usually when we used to initiate hormone replacement therapy. Now, once a woman has skipped 2 months of her period, that is called late perimenopause. And by this time, the hormones are volatile. So it's not that the estrogen has necessarily dropped permanently. It's just that during this perimenopausal time, your hormones are all over the show. So women would typically say, one day I'm happy, one day I'm sad. One day I'm angry, one day I'm moody. One night I sleep, one night I don't. And it's this volatility in the hormone fluctuations that cause the highest risk for cardiovascular diseases, which is why it's so important for us to address it.
Right.
Because if we can address it in time, something like a postmenopausal depression is something that we can lower the risk by half. We can cut the risk by half instead of just ending up giving patients antidepressants and sleeping tablets.
Before I talk about menopause and where we're going next, take me through it again. So I am a woman with ovaries. I'm fully functional. I can have a baby.
Yes.
Okay. Now, after that, I come to you. I have now, my cycle is changing. My period is changing. Yes. Okay, go from there.
So you're still a reproductive lady. Your cycle is starting to change. This usually indicates a drop potentially in your progesterone. So you've got estrogen, progesterone, and yes, women also have testosterone, which play a very important role in our bodies. So now maybe your progesterone has started dropping. So then women, usually you can still have a baby. You can still have a baby. That is very important to know. But your cycles are a bit demacar and you're not sleeping so well necessarily, and you're starting to gain weight, or you're becoming a bit moody and irritable. When the progesterone drops initially, that's the first sign. It's usually the first sign that you're going towards the end of your reproductive age. Testosterone, however, also drops even before that, and that also has an impact on your motivation. I'm not going to the gym today, or I'm going to the gym, but I'm not getting muscles anyway, because muscles are also very dependent on testosterone. Or my sexual arousal is very low. My libido has gone out the window, and that usually marks the late reproductive cycle in a woman's life.
Then the next, so there's the woman that can have the baby, things are starting to not go so lekker. Then it's early stages of perimenopause.
Yes.
What happens in the body?
So in perimenopause, what literally happens is your estrogen levels, the good estrogen levels, start going lower and lower. Then it sends a signal to the brain and says, hey, we need more estrogen. So then the follicle stimulating hormone goes up and it says, make some follicles. And now by this time, your ovaries are a bit tired, but they can still do the job. And then you've got huge estrogen surges. So sometimes when you test women in perimenopause, their estrogen will somewhere be 1,500 to, it's very high. You get very high levels. And then if you test a week later, it's very, very low. So it's a very erratic time because your body is trying to compensate for this lowering in estrogen. And this, in turn, this lowered level of estrogen and this erratic movement up and down causes a lot of inflammation in your endothelium, which is the lining of your veins and arteries.
Right. Everywhere or just in the uterus?
Everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. When you start reaching later stages of perimenopause, so late perimenopause, by this time, your estrogen is not sufficient anymore.
Mm.
So now you've got a low estrogen, you've got a low progesterone.
Can I still have a baby?
That will depend. Yes. Perimenopause, throughout perimenopause, there's still a chance of having a baby. It's only once you've had no menstruation for a year that we say, okay, now you cannot have a baby anymore. But by that time, it's too late. You should have started treating beforehand.
Why are we trying to stop menopause? Is the idea of, I don't want to have menopause, is the idea, I don't want to have a heart attack and cardiovascular disease, is the idea, menopause makes me feel not so lacquer. That's why we want to already in perimenopause try and fix things up. Why can't I just have menopause and the hot flushes and not sleep and then say, oh, I had menopause and this is another stage in my life? What are we trying to avoid?
So if you think about it, women spend about a third of their lives without hormones. Ne? Let's say your hormones start changing by early 40s, then they start dropping in your 50s. For a third of your life, your hormones are not fine. If, let me give you an example for cardiovascular. If a woman in the 40s, in your 40s before menopause, 42 out of 100,000 women, 42 out of 100,000 women will have a cardiovascular incident. After menopause, that number, if we do not treat the hormone imbalances, that number increases to 8,663. Mm-hmm. Also, in terms of cognitive function, remember your hormones, we are not just a uterus. Nee? Mm-hmm. The hormones, your sex hormones, hormones are messengers. They're little messengers. And they're not just there to make babies
sure.
And give you menstrual periods and hot flashes. They are messengers. For example, progesterone is a neurosteroid. Some of the progesterone is made in the brain. And it's part of, they call it myelinization. So it literally seals the nervous system, and it's in part of neurogenesis. It makes new nerves in your brain and nervous system. So now you take this away from someone in their late 40s. So their cognition goes down, their mood goes down.
And they could have a heart attack.
And yes, and the chances are so much higher if we don't treat them. The chances of having a heart attack is, you've got a woman has 7 times bigger chance of having a heart attack than dying of breast cancer. And we know how common breast cancer is. But in the past, we were obviously all very afraid of estrogen. We didn't even look at testosterone in those ones because at that point, female testosterone was not important, but that it is. It's very important even for bone density. But with estrogen, there was a big study that was done in 2002, and they stopped it prematurely because of cardiovascular incidents. But at that point, the study was flawed, and that we now know 20 years later. So in the Cancer Journal in July 2022, there was an amazing expose where they looked back at that retrospectively at that study and said, okay, let's keep, kept on following all the women that stayed on the hormones and those that didn't.
Mm.
They found a 23% reduction in breast cancer in those patients. Mm. It's currently the only way to prevent dementia in women, estrogen. Diabetes, we know that it lowers the chances of diabetes. So depression, these are significant things that women are suffering from everywhere. And we finally have the clinical trials to go, we can treat women. There is no reason not to. So transdermal, so with a clinical study, they did oral estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they drank the estrogen, it was equine, and so then they had a lowering in breast cancer and in diabetes and stroke and Alzheimer's, but there was still a risk of deep vein thrombosis, like blood clots in the legs.
Right.
And then for those things to embolize to your brain. But that risk went away once we changed to the transdermal patch.
So it's a patch. What does the patch have in it?
Estrogen. But instead of going through the mouth into the GI tract, causing some issues, if it's delivered transdermally, then the risk for the DVT falls away. So obviously you're not going to give it to someone with a current DVT. You still need to first sort out things. And each patient is an individual. So this is general medical facts and clinical trials, but you still need to go through, your doctor still needs to check, do you have any other risk factors?
Right.
But we're done with the times where we fear estrogen for the sake of breast cancer. The other problem came in is if someone still has a uterus, we give them, they used to get a progestin, which is a synthetic progesterone. Remember, I spoke about this beautiful neurosteroid that builds your brain. It helps with cognition and depression and anxiety and also bone density and sleep. So many nice functions, not just your uterus. But the synthetic version actually took away the breast protective element of estrogen. And it took away the stroke protective element of estrogen. So the combination was a problem. It's 2024. We have access to body identical progesterones.
So progesterones that won't harm the body and that will still protect us against all these other.
Exactly. So it's does exactly the same as your body's progesterone does. It's exactly the same molecule.
So we don't have to be afraid of treatment.
Not anymore. I was afraid of giving my patients hormone replacement therapy. I used to give all kinds of other versions just to protect them against the breast cancer. Now I feel bad for all those women that we avoided it. Women have.
But it was a different time.
It was a different time.
I mean, yeah.
Yes.
So don't feel bad. Okay, at least you didn't. Yeah. Jy het hulle nie proefkonyne gemaak nie. Like, that would have been different,
true,
you know. Yeah.
True.
At which age can one, is there a study that confirms at which age do we suffer from perimenopause?
No, it depends. It's so wide. It depends on different countries, etc. But that's why I said the independent of age, look at your menstrual cycle. That's very important. But what we can confirm is that your progesterone and your testosterone can start dropping from your late 30s, early 40s, and then already patients start getting symptoms, like I said, with muscle mass and irritability and mood changes, depression, sleep, insomnia, loss of sexual arousal. So those things usually start in your late 30s to early 40s.
Give me a mental graph of the progesterone, estrogen, testosterone. So explain it for us so that when we need to insert it in this interview, that whoever's hearing this for the first time knows what the human body is made out of. So I'm almost going back in the interview. So women consists of progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, and okay. All right. So give me the summary, the components of me.
Okay.
I'm it.
Well, our sex hormones, which were named sex hormones because back in the day it was, like I said, just for reproduction, not for all the other messenger molecules that it does. But the three main ones is your estradiol or your estrogen, your progesterone, and then your testosterone. But even within those three, there's a whole spectrum of things that have to happen. So, for example, cholesterol is a molecule that makes DHEA, that is one of your stress hormones. So you can imagine how stress affects our hormones quite hectically. DHEA makes testosterone, and then there's a pathway to estrogen. On the other side of cholesterol, we have cortisol and progesterone. So cortisol, again, is a stress hormone, and progesterone is our other sex hormone. So all of these play a direct role on each other. So that's why stress management, we can talk about lifestyle later. But so estrogen, that is your proliferator. It's a builder. It builds your skin. It builds your bone. It builds your veins. It's a very important one. But on the other side of estrogen, we have progesterone. And they work together They are each other's antagonists. So they work like this, but they need each other. So progesterone gets the uterus ready for implantation for the fertilized egg, and then the two together manage your menstrual cycle together. But progesterone is not just there for the fertilization part. It's also very important as a neurosteroid. It's important for sleep. It's important for depression and anxiety, and also it's important to work against that building, proliferating effect of the estrogen. So if you have an estrogen excess and a progesterone deficiency, that could also lead to problems with fertility and with weight, with irritability. So they need to be in constant balance with each other.
Give me a very high level answer now. You're speaking to a young mom who is hearing this for the first time. What are the signs of perimenopause? Is the only sign my period that's irregular, or will it show in any other way? What if I just don't feel good and I'm not sure, but my period is, so to say, normal?
So early menopause is a very hard one, because usually with early menopause, you don't get the hot flushes yet. There might be no hot flushes, but they start complaining of joint pains, mm-hmm. especially lower back pain. Especially when they've got low testosterone by then as well. Insomnia is one of the main ones. Dry skin, dry scalp, sometimes even a dry mouth. Early menopause, very seldomly, might have vaginal dryness, irritability, moodiness. When we reach the later perimenopause, not yet postmenopause, that's when you can start having the hot flushes. They call it vasomotor symptoms. The problem is, the more hot flushes you have, the higher your cardiovascular risk.
Of course.
Because you've got everything doing this and this. So very important, once the hot flushes are there, you should be sitting in your gynae's office, having your examination done, making sure that you get your hormones sorted out, in whichever way possible, at least.
All these symptoms exist. You know, I mean, when you were going through the perimenopause symptoms, it just sounds like a normal woman, like all of us, you know, sleeplessness, you know, the insomnia, the dry mouth, feeling a little bit irritated, irritable. What if you have all those symptoms, but lifestyle is perhaps not controlled? You know, we all moms of older and younger children, we drink wine, we don't follow a healthy diet. It's Friday, I need to get a pizza pie instead of a salad, you know?
Yes.
I don't have lentils, so I'm going to have rice. And it feels to me like there needs to be some kind of maintenance before I can say that a symptom is a symptom. How important is lifestyle together with the symptoms of perimenopause? How do I know it's not just a lifestyle issue?
Lifestyle is a very, very important thing. So it doesn't help that we correct someone's hormones, but their lifestyle is still a disaster. Especially in your late 30s, early 40s, it's a very stressful time. And like I said, your stress hormones can have the biggest impact on your sex hormones. So what you are saying is 100% correct. The first thing we need to do is prioritize our sleep. So you can forget about all the other things. And that's very easy to say if your kids are not little anymore. I remember when mine was small, there was no prioritizing sleep. It's impossible. But when by the time you can, it needs to be a first priority, because it's actually the sleep deprivation secondary to the hormone changes that causes the biggest part of depression. So whether it be get rid of that screen after an hour before.
Hey, the screen has come up in the studio, doctor. The screen, the phone. The phone
is a problem. Also, exercise. We have to be exercising, and we're not asking to hang out in the gym for 3 hours a day.
It's not going to happen.
But if you can, so the general guidelines say at least 150 minutes per week.
Right, 150 minutes. The 30 minutes. 30 minutes a day.
30 minutes a day for 5 days.
Ooh, okay, relief.
So if you can do that before you get into the shower, then you're sorted. Because after that your day will go crazy.
Yeah.
So it's very important. So 30 minutes per day. Spirituality has been listed in clinical trials. Being spiritual, whether it's through prayer or through meditation or whatever, has a huge impact on our long-term health. And then obviously, we've got the sleep, we've got the exercise and diet. So diet becomes quite overwhelming, but it is, if you're inflamed constantly from what you're putting into your mouth, that is going to present with chronic fatigue, or you're eating just before you go to bed, that's going to cause you to sleep poorly. So lifestyle is always the first thing we check, always. But I know with diets, Verstaan, what must you now follow? Because then there's this, then there's that. But the only one that I can tell you that has proper long-term studies is the Mediterranean diet. So Mediterranean diet, very nice. No, not pizza and pasta. That is a very nice Italian.
Come on, doctor. Okay, Mediterranean diet. What are we eating?
We are eating lots of whole grains, lots of veggies, good fats, avos, nuts, seeds.
Cheese.
So I always talk about weekend food. So your weekend food, because you need to be able to do this for the rest of your life.
Wait, when does the weekend start? Thursday?
No, you can do maybe Friday night to Sunday afternoon.
Okay, got you.
Okay, so weekend food will typically be your wheat, like a bread, wheat, cookies, those things, red meat. I know it's a South African staple, but we are not supposed to be eating red meat every day. Potato, sweet potato, pumpkin, like your butternut, because it's high in GI. So those are your weekend veggies. Have them. Have as many as you want on a weekend. Have bread and a braaibroodjie and cheese. So dairy, unfortunately, is a bit pro-inflammatory. So that depends on the individual.
I can feel it today. If you heard it, my stomach is growling. Because I have had lots of milk today, from goat's milk to cream, full cream, low fat, semi-fat, whole milk, half fat. I had all of them before doctor came, and now my tummy is growling. I just heard it again.
So typical Monday diet, you might have some berries and maybe some nuts and seeds that you've now roasted. So you've got the fiber, you've got the antioxidants. Then for late snack, you might have a handful of almonds and an apple. However, snacks depends on the individual. Some people like to snack, some don't. Then for lunch, I mostly eat out of cans. So don't judge me, but a very nice alternative to get in your fiber. Because remember, fiber contains your insoluble fiber. It literally binds to fats and cholesterol in your gut and you poo it out. So what a joy. What a joy. So I take usually a can of lentils on a Monday, throw the water off, add some basil pesto and half an avo, or black beans with, let's say, some olive oil and lemon juice and sun-dried tomatoes, salt and pepper. If you don't want to go that Mediterranean, you can do like a chicken salad. It's perfect with...
Can you have peppers? Is that good for...
As many as possible. Okay. Have all the veggies. Mealies, portals, argis, you have all of them. You just try to avoid the super starchy ones in the week.
Right, right.
Anything you can possibly think of.
This is refreshing because, you know what's interesting, doctor? We all go on diets, take care of our bodies, you know. Then baby comes, then we're all exercising, and then there's a part of us that forgets. You know, because baby's here now and we sorted the kid out, but it's almost like there's, and I'm not speaking for everyone, I'm saying there's something that happens within us that makes us go, okay, baby's here now, baby's fine, I'm going to drink my wine again, you know, all the things that I couldn't have while I was pregnant, you know. And actually what I'm learning today is all the things that, you know, I shouldn't have leading into perimenopause and into menopause, because it's more than just hormones in our vaginas. Like, it actually has to do with our hearts, cholesterol,
yes,
our brain function, and our everyday life. Yes. Even spirituality. Is it not just easier to read our Bible than to go to the gym?
Well, they are equally important in your body. So maybe if you can incorporate them. Read your Bible whilst gymming.
I love that. You can now with apps.
Yes.
Before I get to the rest, because we are at the symptom stage, which I'm really enjoying, because your advice, which has always been practical to me, is really serving me in this chat. When it comes to treatment, without getting too technical, how do you, if I had to come to you, do you do a blood test? How do we find out that we are in menopause, that I am in? It's almost like, and I've heard this from my friends, they want to know the facts. Ons wil seker wees, we want to be sure,
yes.
You know, that this is the case. What happens?
So the first step and the most important part is the clinical interview. So you go to your doctor and you give them all of the symptoms.
Mm.
So like you say, most of these symptoms are considered normal, but unfortunately these symptoms go through stages and then later they become anatomical and they become critical. And so the first step is obviously to go through all your symptoms, try to identify, because like I said, there can always be something else seriously wrong. Maybe a underactive thyroid or maybe a growth in your uterus or whatever. So the full body examination is
a good one. Yeah.
We can't just always assume it's the hormones' fault. But after that, I do blood tests. So because you want to see. And when I look at a thyroid function, you get normal reference ranges and then you get optimal ones. So I'm strict like that. I don't want my patients functioning at 10% of the reference range. You want to be at least 50%.
Mm.
You just want to be average at least. So blood tests help a lot. So you look for diabetes, especially in women, because the hormones, you look for cholesterol. Sometimes the big problem is that a woman's cholesterol is too low.
Wow.
Because remember I told you, cholesterol is the molecule. It makes your DHEA, it makes your progesterone. So sometimes I just tell patients, go back, have more nuts and avos and fish
and, then
and
come back.
Olive oil.
So it's treatable. Is perimenopause treatable?
Very, very.
So if I, after my blood test, have come to conclusion that I'm in perimenopause, do I have to have hormone?
Well,
replacements, therapy.
That is always up to the patient.
Mm.
But in the past, I wouldn't even have suggested it. But now we have so much more information.
Right.
So I would say, why on earth would you not, if we can give it transdermally, prevent strokes, diabetes, dementia, significantly reduce chances of dementia, significantly reduce chances of cardiovascular disease,
right,
all-cause mortality, without increasing your chance for breast cancer or stroke, why on earth would we not?
Explain to all of our listeners what hormone therapy is. Is it a pill? Do I lie in a bed and you infuse me with a drip?
You know? I wish it was that easy. I wish it was. So hormone replacement therapy, there's obviously different forms. And now in 2024, we have many more options. But you get pills and you get precursor pills and you get patches and you get, you even get vaginal preparations. So there are many options out there. But it's important to do a proper risk stratification, decide what you want to go on. You obviously know what I want patients to use, but only in any form.
Mm.
If you can have a cream or a gel or whatever thing, or a patch, or I can't think of anything else, but if you can get your estrogen not going through the oral route, that's my preference, obviously, based on the clinical studies.
Mm.
But it's just, it's synthetic preparations. You also get bioidentical preparations. The most important thing with your bioidenticals is that they are made by accredited compounding pharmacies, because obviously it's been quite controversial, but
right,
the clinical studies are still there. So as long as it's an accredited place and not in someone's backyard.
Do we need to be afraid?
Of the hormones.
Of being in perimenopause. Like, it must be. I realized recently that I can still have a baby. My ovaries are blinking like this. Hello, Mama.
Oh, shame.
Do we need to? Because we don't like our bodies changing. It must be extremely lonely.
Most women come in saying that everyone says there's nothing wrong with my bloods, but something has changed. Mm-hmm. I eat the same. I do the same. I'm not losing the weight. I'm not sleeping. I'm depressed. And that's why this is such a wonderful platform to say to women that it's normal. It's horrible. It's horrible, mm-hmm. but it's normal. And for some women, it might last 7 years. The transition for some, it might last 14 years, also depending on ethnicity, but and so many other factors that also play a huge role. But you are not alone, and having a dry scalp suddenly out of nowhere, or a dry skin, or depression, etc. Depression is real, but if there's other signs, have it checked out.
I'm feeling moody. I've just woken up. My period has started. I don't want to go to work. I miss my children. This is too overwhelming. Give me 5 tips. I hope chocolates is one of them.
Oh, you can have maybe some cocoa. It's a great antioxidant.
Is it?
But not with the sugar, just the cocoa. Is it a weekend? Okay, no, it's a Monday. It's a Monday. Sorry. You will get used to the lifestyle quickly.
Okay, five tips, doctor.
Okay. So the first thing is, obviously, so it's a Monday, it's chaos. You need to activate your vagus nerve. That is the one that takes you out of that fight or flight, because cortisol is the enemy of the hormones. So how to activate your parasympathetic system? You do some box breathing. You're lying there. You don't want to get up. You do some box breathing. Slow in. 1, 3, 4. Keep it in. 2, 3. 4. Exhale. 2, 3, 4. Keep it out. 2, 3, 4. That's one box.
How many boxes must I do?
One is usually sufficient for me personally, but I do it frequently. So you know, it's a hectic week that's lying ahead, and there's 5 million emails.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe someone's going through a hard time. Before you open Ooh. Your emails, you do one box. Otherwise, there are many ways to activate your parasympathetic system. You can cough really loud. I won't do it into this thing.
Like that?
Yes.
I felt it.
Did you feel it?
Yes, my diaphragm just hit my stomach.
There you go.
Okay. Is that the effect?
That's one of them. You can massage the base of your thumb. There are so many ways. Singing. Wait, that morning when you get into the shower, sing loud. Sing loud. Your children must wonder what's going on, because it also helps with your vagus nerve. Then when you get up, don't go straight for the caffeine. Obviously, we all do want to go straight for
the
caffeine.
It's still one of the 5 tips.
We're still in the
Okay,
morning.
Got you.
Wait, drink lots of water, because now your cortisol is already doing this. Having excess caffeine when you are in this, caffeine is great once a day. But if you're already stressed, you don't want to add on to that.
Right.
Then obviously no one can just go for a quick run, but put on an app, get yourself an app, a yoga app or a high intensity interval training app or whatever your mood is there for.
Is the idea to exercise?
10 minutes.
Okay. Just 10.
You start off with 10 minutes.
Can I skip?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right.
I thought you wanted to skip the exercise. No, you
can. No, I mean, yes. Skipping.
Yes, any exercise. So you start with 10 minutes and you build up gradually to
right,
10
eventually.
Minutes per day. And a cold shower, also very, very good.
Okay, one more tip.
One more tip.
Chocolate. No.
Fine, you can have one chocolate. Is it Saturday? No, still.
Oh, it's Monday.
No, those, if you can get grounded, get grounded. Like you said, read through your Bible. Just get grounded.
I like the word grounded because that, okay, yeah. So instead of adding on, you know, you are actually taking away.
Yes.
Like we take away the caffeine and you try and find quiet by breathing and changing your focus. And that's why you grab the Bible. You're reading, you know, and you're reading about, yeah, like spiritual.
All of that we are mentioning is not alone time. What do you call it when you make time for yourself?
Self-care.
Self-care. So So if women can just do 30 minutes of self-care somewhere in the day, that will attribute greatly to their health. And 30 minutes isn't a lot. Giving so much time.
Make notes of what self-care looks like. Today, my self-care was, I waited for you for 10 minutes because I was early. You were not late. You were very early. But I made myself a cup of green tea and I sat downstairs. I took my shoes off in the building, in my office. And I sat on the couch and I drank my tea for 10 minutes. And that was for my ideal for my self-care for now, you know, like, because I know I'm not going to have it later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, but I mean, I think if one lists it for yourself, you eventually get to... I really enjoyed your breakdown on our different components, you know, the testosterone, the progesterone, the just a quick fire. So you must say yes or no and then correct me or agree with me. Testosterone is only for men.
No.
Okay. Incorrect. Why not?
Well, we don't need as much testosterone as men do. And obviously in men, they are more testosterone driven, whereas women, we are more dependent on estrogen. And we are actually lucky for having estrogen because it's so cardioprotective and anti-inflammatory. But testosterone in a male, the references that they need to function optimally, have a good muscle mass and motivation is a lot higher than we need. But no, it's not just for men. We also need it equally for bone density, for sleep, for a whole bunch of reasons. Libido, da-da-da. But no, not just for men, definitely for women as well.
I don't know if I'm in perimenopause because I have had a Mirena and I actually don't know the intervals of my period.
That is a huge problem that
don't
we are facing.
Oh, no.
No, it's not. The Mirena isn't a huge problem.
Right.
It's the contraception. So that's why.
Doctor, I know what you're going to do. We have to bring you back for a talk on contraception. I know what you're going to do. I'm actually closing my eyes here.
What? Well, I won't make you. If we're definitely suspecting it, once there's some. If you're getting super moody or super this and we've sorted out all the other things and it's not their fault, then usually what I do is I just replace the Mirena with the lighter version, which is the Kylena.
Okay.
So most women will still have a much lighter, but still a menstrual period on their Kylena. Some women will remove their IUD or stop their contraception.
For a while.
And then use a barrier method or would go for a sterilization, or their husbands would go for sterilization. But it is an important talk to have with your spouse that at some point you're going to have to stop the contraception. In order to find out.
Okay. I'm glad I asked. I'm glad I asked it. I mean, it's hard to talk about your body. You know how the Omensa used to say, I'm not going to go to the doctor because then I know.
Exactly.
You know?
No, it's a common problem.
Maintenance is not sustainable because I don't like diets.
So you have to then adjust it to what you like. If you do not like lentils and beans and chickpeas, don't have them. If you like chicken and corn and peas, have those. If you don't like avos, have more nuts. But make sure that you know what are the range of whole foods that you can get from the Mediterranean diet. You will never find refined stuff in the Mediterranean diet. Pasta is weekend food. Sugar is for weekends. But that knowledge that you can have something from Friday night to Sunday afternoon, or however you want to structure it, really does make it a lot easier. So if you have... If you're sitting there on a Wednesday and you're like, oh, I am so lost for a chocolate, then just say, okay, wait, but I'm having one Friday evening. I'm having one on Friday evening. I'm going to buy it on my way to home. But none of us can keep that up permanently. It is not possible. But have a look at the Mediterranean diet. Find a combination of high fiber, high antioxidant, good fats and protein that works for you.
Perimenopause means that my body is declining. It's a curse. I knew this would happen to me because it happened to my mother.
Absolutely. It happens to everyone. It happens to everyone. Nobody is excluded. Some have maybe less hot flushes, or some have maybe less muscle mass.
Does it mean my body is declining?
Well, we are constantly declining, but there is just a much more sudden drop in... and a more noticeable change. From our sides, we keep on exercising, we keep on eating correctly, we take enough water, we try everything we can to maintain our bodies. But once our ovary says, I'm done, then they're done.
Are we our ovaries? Are we more than our ovaries and our hormones?
Like I said, all these sex hormone talk that we've been having, they're not just our sex hormones. We are much more. Our reproductive organs play, obviously, they need those hormones very much, but so does our brain. Women are not just ovaries. We are a brain. We have cognition. We have muscles. We have motivation. We look after families. We look after communities. So if we can just, if we just need everyone to start looking at after us as well. People need to start looking after us on that level. Give us our alone time, self-care. Check our hormones when it's time, when there are changes, and initiate these things soon enough and get the knowledge to know what you need to be looking at and what you need to be doing.
Well, if you wonder where we found Dr. Yuan Ri Yonk, you have to check her out on lifelabmed.com. I actually have something to share. I saw you last year, November, and it was life-changing for me. And yeah, I'm glad I came, and I'm glad I paid a visit. And I was very sad when I was there, and I'm in a much better space. So a big thanks to you and all your education, to all the other practitioners as well. You've also taught me something else. You don't have to agree with your doctor. You know, sometimes your doctor says something and you don't have to agree with them. But isn't it wonderful that you have another opinion in your circle that you can trust? And I really appreciate that. So go and hear what they have to say. Check out the website. Sy's regtig die mooiste dokter wat ek nog ooit gesien het. She's got red hair like Tina Turner. Lifelabmed.com. Thank you so much for driving all the way from Montana.
Lynnwood, ons is daar.
Lynnwood. Hey man, dis baie ver daar aan 'n kant. Thanks for driving all the way from Lynnwood to come and chat to us.
Oh, thanks you.
I really appreciate it. I really. My maag rom nog steeds. I had whole milk.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores.